Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
G-Shawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
John, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers were presented by Progressive Insurance.
Good morning.
How's this weather for you, Keith? It's supposed to rain a little
bit.
Bad.
I mean, it's a good, it's cool, but
this is January in LA.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm expecting for it to rain by noon, you know.
Yeah.
Here. I'll be long gone by then, but, you know.
Yeah, he'll be on
he'll be in the air.
So last night was a little crisp, you know, a little rainy. A little bottle of wine last night at dinner.
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
It was good.
How do you keep your eyes open when you drink wine? I can't ever keep my eyes open when I drink wine anymore.
What do you mean?
We get up when people are still, you know, halfway through their night.
It puts you to sleep, though.
Yeah.
It doesn't put me to sleep.
No, I'm saying.
I mean, I'm
wine
Catholic. It's the blood of Christ.
Oh, for sure.
Brings me to life.
I'm saying it puts me to sleep, but if we go out to dinner and I start drinking wine, I have more than a glass or two. If I have two, three glasses, I got to go to bed.
Yeah. Nah, three glasses, I'm right. I'm good. Yeah. I'm in my zone.
You
start spinning
issue.
It. You
may
Auto
have an issue.
Zone.
I don't know.
Auto zone.
You may have an issue with, so I'm not sure.
What?
Guys, on a more serious note, Deshaun Watson has settled all but four of the lawsuits filed against him. That's what his attorney, Tony Busby, said in a statement yesterday. Since March 16th, 2021, 25 lawsuits have been filed against Deshaun Watson, alleging sexual assault and other inappropriate behavior during massage sessions. Of those 25, one was dropped by the plaintiff when the judge ruled her petition had to be amended with her name. She didn't want her name out there. The other 20, Busby said, have been settled. Okay, so that leaves four outstanding. Busby noted that Ashley Solis, the first woman to file a lawsuit against Watson and the first to speak publicly and identify herself as a plaintiff, is not one of the 20 women to settle. Mm. So there are four outstanding. There are no criminal charges. 20 have been settled of the civil cases. Four remain outstanding. Okay, Michael McCann, Sportico legal expert, was on Freddie and Fitzsimmons and had this to say about it.
We know that the league's investigation has been going on months. And even if he had settled all of the lawsuits today, I still think there's the issue of, is it too late? Because the NFL has done all this research on him. They've looked into his background. They've looked into these allegations. And we also know the NFL doesn't hesitate to suspend players where the law doesn't find them at fault.
Yeah, I know it's conjecture, but why do you think these would be settled now?
Well, you got to, one, just stay to the field, right? On the field is you look at, we're at the end of June now. We're getting ready to roll into training camp. They're getting ready to turn things up in July for training camp. I believe that the Cleveland Browns, some person from the league, some people from his representation, NFLPA said, you know what, it's time to move on. Let's try and move the page as much as we can, turn the page to the next page so we can clarify, get some clarification on where you're going to be suspended, how long, all of those sort of things. And let's figure out where we are. Sitting around waiting, making it longer and dragging it out, now you – or into the football season. And now the Cleveland Browns don't know who their starting quarterback's going to be, all of those sort of things. I think this is why you settled a case. On top of, you know, when these things start to come out, you know, you want to also, if you're Deshaun Watson, maybe you don't want some of the information that's out there to get out there.
That was my point, Key. I think you hit the nail right in the head, right? Like the longer these, you know, cases are still out there lingering around, is the more that you're prone to details of individual cases leaking to be utilized as leverage for them to actually get money. So I think the quicker you can settle these cases, have NDAs in place, the quicker you can try to focus on the next step of the process.
Although Ashley Solis is still, you know, her case essentially is still open, and she could
say whatever she wants.
Whatever she wants, whenever she wants. Maybe she doesn't want to sign a confidentiality agreement in terms of keeping the settlement quiet. So maybe that's some of the settlement things that's going on. But it doesn't matter if it's 20, 21, 22, 23. All it takes is one person with information to have a conversation about what you did. That's it.
But let me tell you why I think the ND, like, okay. So first of all, let's back up for a second. No criminal charges, but 24 open civil cases, all alleging basically a very similar thing, right? That, in the court of public opinion, my brain, I can't turn off my brain. I'm like, 24 different women saying basically the same stuff? Come on, man. Come on, Deshaun. Now, 20 have been settled. That does not, from 20 settlements, I do not infer guilt or innocence or anything, because that's life-changing money for the women. And for Deshaun, if it really happened, why would they take the money? Because it could be life-changing, potentially. And from Deshaun Watson's point of view, doesn't mean necessarily that he's guilty, even though what I said before, come on, man, they're all alleging similar stuff. It's just, in the cost-benefit analysis, even if you haven't, if you don't think you've done anything wrong, it may just be better for you. So I'm putting those 20 aside. We're dealing with 4 open civil cases, right? I think there is a difference, Key and Jay. If details come out from 4 different cases, then from 24. Because if 24 women are it's starting to be in the press, it's starting to, and we start to get details, what Jay said, that's the specificity of details, and they all start to line up and sound similar, and it's like, but different enough that it sounds like it happened.
It doesn't.
That's terrible for Deshaun Watson.
Think about what you said prior to this, though, Max. 20 settled. You got 4 open. If you got 24 total, and essentially everybody is saying the same thing, the 4 is going to speak for the 24. 2 is going to speak.
That's a good point.
2 is going to speak for 22.
That's a good point, but now it's our imagination.
But 1 going to speak for 23. It doesn't matter what the number is.
There's no question that goes on in your head. But without the details from the other 20, it doesn't have the same impact.
I just got to say this, because yesterday I was in the city and I was literally walking to meet my wife for dinner. And I was coming off. I sat down with Jaden Ivey, getting ready for the NBA draft, talking to him. He's going to be a top 5 pick, an incredible kid. And a random person was like, so, Jay, like, what do you think about this whole Deshaun Watson thing? And honestly, guys, I'm going to tell you guys, honestly, I feel dirty or even having the conversation. I read about it. I try to get as many details as possible, and I still feel extremely uncomfortable talking about it. 24 women is a lot of people. It's a lot, Key. And even though 20 settled, like, I didn't
even know. You're aware of their existence.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I don't even know where to go with the conversation.
That's what
about
Key's point. That's Key's point, right? The one, even if it's just one woman saying it now, if details are coming out, your brain is aware that there are 20 something others. And so you transfer.
Yes, 20 something others. But if you look at these situations as a whole in the past, in these type of situations, the behavior pattern is essentially the same, right? I mean, they're essentially the same by the defendants. They're just, it's always he or she did this with one, he or she did that with 2, 3, 4, 5, and it's always the same. So that's why I say, whether it's one speaks for 23, 2 speaks for 22. I mean, it. That's just the way it is.
Ideally, he settles, from his point of view, he settles, and from the Browns' point of view, he settles with all of them.
Yes.
I hear what you're saying. I think that definitely exists, and yet there's a reason you settle with 20. And part of that is not just because of the money or the – it's that what you're saying is right, but the details will vary in certain ways that will feel real to people. And it would be even worse. I mean, it's a mess anyway. Listen, we're going to talk more about this throughout the show, but we're going to move on to happier topics like the Warriors being ready to repeat. Who's the biggest threat? Jay, do you have something else to say about this now?
I look forward to talking about sports.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah, me too.
I really do, man. Hell of a way to kick off your Wednesday morning.
Yeah, yeah, me too, yep. But this is the news.
This is news. I get it. I understand it.
At any rate, who is the biggest threat? It's a hard turn. There's no good way to do it. Who's the biggest threat to the Warriors' throne? That's next. ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jay, so yesterday, the Astros and the Mets, so they this kid, I guess there's a game that is put together that a fan, a kid goes out to take second base, a second base. It's out in the outfield, though.
Yeah.
So the kid they let onto the field, he ran to second base inside the diamond to try to pick up second base because he didn't know he was supposed to go out in the outfield. He was trying to actually literally steal second base. So
kids are very literal that way. You got to explain it a little bit better next time.
Yeah, and so Altuve is sitting there at second base trying to help the kid literally steal second base.
Wait, before you even go deeper into the story, there's something about the Astros trying to help somebody steal something that just feels wrong to me.
And so they didn't know.
I took it the other way. Something about somebody in the Astros not playing the game the right way.
That too, though.
Yeah,
it
too
was
though,
a,
yeah.
out to me.
It was the funniest thing when you see it is the kid is sitting there and they're really trying to pull up second base. And when you pull up these bases, you have to get underneath and twist it, turn it. And then they finally realized, like, oh, no, we can't what are we doing? And then they told the kid to run out. So he ran. I think it was in center field or in between right and center and ran out there. And they had a tape up, so he kind of ran through the tape measure as if he was running track or something, and he got the second base.
But, Max, this reminded you of a game growing up, running the bases. Like,
yeah,
explain
bases,
to people
yeah.
and tell people about running the bases.
Running bases is just, you know, listen, public school in New York, cement, concrete, you know, and a bunch of kids. Right. So what kind of games do you play? Running bases is just two fielders, one on first base, one on second base, whatever bases, and a gang of kids running back and forth. You're just trying to tag out whoever you
so
can
like
tag
pickle,
out.
Basically.
Pickle. Last man standing wins. Running bases, but for some reason, it's the most fun you could have as a
How
kid.
How aggressive does that game get though? Because I would assume like if you're trying to tag, you're pretty hard.
I mean, yeah, like it's
like handball. Like handball got aggressive in the city.
You ever play asses up?
No.
Oh yeah, basically you're throwing the ball at people. It's right.
No. Oh, you throw the ball. I thought you meant throw up tackle.
Yeah.
Throw up tackle when you throw the football
up
in the air.
I mean, yeah.
So like Max says, call it 15 kids. Early morning when you go to school, you throw the ball up. Whoever gets it, you take it and you run before you tackle actually on the cement.
Yeah. We used to play stop motion instead, just stop forward motion.
Like tag.
Except you actually had to wrap them up.
Because
you have to stop them moving
the
forward.
Go in the first period smelling.
Just disgusting.
The only time you can play
football, man,
in New York
try
is when it snows.
Tackle me on the cement. Yeah. I ain't built like that.
Throw up tackle.
Hit my hand. That's a foul.
We're back in 10 seconds. That's a foul.
The Golden State Warriors back on top of the NBA once more.
You never take this for granted because you never know when you'll be back here. And to get back here and get it done means the world.
So the dynasty was over. I went through some things, tore everything, and I'm still here.
Welcome back to the Warriors Invitational, baby. It's what we do.
Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and your smart speakers were presented by Progressive Insurance. Warriors still celebrating. Should have seen this coming, too, with all the talk of Steph Curry's the petty king.
Kevin Durant.
That was
just old footage. I was like, wait a minute.
That KD
he snuck
team.
He snuck in there.
He's back. Man, the amount of memes on the internet, man, people were wild. People were saying, oh, KD going to come back to Golden State. I'm like, man, stop.
He snuck in there, though.
Stop.
No, you know what the only thing about that is, though, Jay? Everyone's like, he couldn't do that. KD seems to me to be a dude who's like, I can do whatever.
No, you can't do that.
I agree, but I don't think you could have done it when he first did it either.
Yeah, just different now.
You can't do it now.
It's something that was already accomplished, right? It was a task that is checked off now.
Why not just stay? If you're going to do that, just stay.
Just stay where?
Stay in Golden State in the first place.
Well, mainly because I actually think it could happen if he won a championship somewhere else. You can't come back without, empty-handed.
You can't go back at all, though, in general.
I mean, LeBron went back to Cleveland, but he didn't come back empty-handed.
But he didn't come back to Cleveland to the original cast that he left.
They didn't have anything.
No, as a matter of fact, they were so bad, they literally drafted first overall in almost every year.
That's how they got Kyrie Irving.
And they begged him to come back.
Yes.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Listen, how are the Warriors going to defend this championship or try, right? What do they do here, Jay? Do they even need to retool? When I look at Kuminga, I look at Wiseman, do they even need Jordan Poole? Do they even need to retool? Is there anything they need to do?
I mean, first off, like Payton, Porter, Looney, these guys are free agents. Like, you bring them back. You bring them back. I mean, you run it back. You run it back. Andrew Wiggins, Jordan Poole, these guys, their contracts are up in a year. You figure out a way to extend it. The one thing that Joe Lacobs has always said, he's the owner of the Golden State Warriors, they don't care about going way, way over the luxury tax. Like, I've heard their GM talk about this multiple times where he said, hey, we got certain contracts that are up. I went to Joe Lacobs and said, okay, these guys are up. What do you want us to do? Do we want to retool? Do we want to fit into a budget? And they've been on the record stating, no, you run it back. So my thing is, they're going to go over the luxury tax. They don't care. The amount of revenue they made this year alone off the Chase Center, their new arena, is like $100 million, right? So if you have that type of money, you bring everybody back and you do it the same way next year.
Not to mention the equity in the team goes up on top of it, right? Just the equity alone.
Yeah, when you talk about guys being paid, GP,
Gary Payton the second.
I always want to say third.
The second,
The second. He's happy to be in Golden State. That's where he's from. He's from the Bay Area. So he's not, he wants to cash in and at the end of the day, but when something about a team give you an opportunity, when you play for 9 NBA teams along with G League team, it's like I'm settled, man.
I'm in that situation.
I can't keep bouncing around.
And that's a beautiful situation for him. And Iggy's done.
He could be a coach or something.
But I mean, look, yeah, Mike Brown yesterday that did his presser for the Sacramento Kings actually agreed with him. He said that De'Aaron Fox and Domantas Sabonis could have a chance to be a top 3 pick and roll duo in the NBA. And I actually think he was right. So he leaves the bench. I would take Iggy, transfer him to the bench because I think his role is imperative. You already saw him play that role this year in
a
way.
As a coach, you mean?
Mentor, Andrew Wiggins, right? So you bring him to the bench as a coach. And now you bring back guys like Otto Porter, who's a legit defender. You bring guys back like Kevon Looney, who gave you pivotal moments of the playoffs. Like when he sat down Draymond Green, I think it was in game 5, that was because Kevon Looney was playing his ass off.
Yeah.
He was playing extremely well. So he's giving you great minutes. So now, along with Gary Payton II, who applies great pressure in the ball, all the pieces are in place for Golden State to run it back.
And as long as they got those four on the floor, they're fine.
You know what's
the four meaning Wiggins?
Yeah, yeah.
Draymond, Steph, and Clay. They good.
But what's interesting to me about Otto Porter, and I'm not saying he's this kind of player, but the situation, the Warriors, because, and this is again credit to Steph, credit to Kerr, and Bob Myers, yep. But especially Steph, that you have guys on other teams who are a little bit miscast. Remember when Porter got that big contract in Washington and they wanted him to be some kind of star, but he's just a good player in a certain role, right? So he gets a little bit miscast, but then on the Warriors, you're like, oh my God, perfect. It's almost like a luxury item. Iguodala wasn't just a luxury item. He was necessary for their success, but also like a little miscast as a one, but perfect on the Warriors. They have this culture where they can absorb these players and put them in roles where it's like, it's almost like, damn, you got that guy doing that job? Oof, that's a lot.
It was like the New England Patriots of old, where they could go get something that somebody thought wasn't good, and all of a sudden you sit there, you go, wait a minute, man. This was a Pro Bowler for them. You got to know your personnel. And coaches in the organization in Golden State clearly know their personnel and what fits for what they want to do.
Now, here's 100%. Something interesting. If you do happen to lose Kevon Looney, right, because free agent, he's probably going to demand a hefty salary. If that doesn't fit into, even though I don't think there'll be a problem with Golden State going way over the cap, like they've already done it. But if you do happen to lose him, now you look at James Wiseman playing summer league, you look at Kuminga, their roles expand, and then do you go to the free agent market and look at a guy like a JaVale McGee who has the experience that can come in and kind of teach the younger guys how to do it in spurts of minutes. So you maybe look at a guy like a Mo Bamba who's out there, bring him potentially in. That may be a little bit extra, but I'm saying there are pieces that you can plug and play. You can play with that a little bit if you do happen to lose Kevon Looney.
Yeah, that guy you could find. You can find a rim protector big type like that just floating around out there in the street somewhere.
Yeah, a little athletic still, yeah. But maybe without the refined skill, but with experience to help the younger players. When I think of Wiseman and Kuminga, you know, I think about this whole Warriors run. The one thing they didn't really have were athletic, big-ish type guys with upside, right? Like when they went, they had Bogut, but they didn't have those springy, long rim defender type guys. They do now.
I don't think that they fit what they do, though. They didn't need that. It's almost like the triangle offense. They didn't need a center like that. They just go get a guy, a Bill Cartwright, a Will Perdue, a Wilmington. Yeah, just them type of dudes.
But there's always a trade-off in life. There's no such thing as, oh, this team is perfect, right? Because every team ever will have a weakness. And when they went small, you would look at certain matchups and go, well, could they get muscled inside? Could they get beaten on the glass? Stuff like that. But if you have basically still prospects like Wiseman and Kuminga, that addresses that.
I'm going to tell y'all right now, I know people have not seen him for a full year, but I got a chance to go down to Memphis. Like, I've seen James Wiseman is a special player, man. Like, there's a reason why Golden State got very lucky in getting him, considering they finished with the worst record in the NBA 2 years ago. His ability to spread the defense and knock down shots, his ability to rim protect is different, and his agility and his footwork in the paint fit perfectly with the style in which the Golden State Warriors play. Like, he is the perfect comp big for the kind of spread offense that Golden State runs.
That's exactly what I'm saying. Like, they never had that guy, Key, because you can still play small ball but with big guys if you can find them, right? How do you get a rim protector who can also shoot from distance? Because if you got that guy, you'd need the first pick in the draft to get. They had the first pick in the draft. Like, they actually wound up with that guy. We don't know what it'll be yet, but potentially it's a lot.
Oh, it's a game changer. I mean, like I said before, you have all the pieces in place. Some of these smaller things, Key, if they happen to go awry, like if you happen to lose Kevon Looney, you can plug and play other pieces in there to fit that role.
What Gronk's retirement means for Tom Brady's chances at another Super Bowl. And someone who wants to see Brady win 10 Super Bowls. They want him to play till he's 60.
What?
It's After Jay has this from Dollar Shave Club.
This is for you, Max. You ever have a shave so noticeably smooth that people want to touch it? Like when a friendly pat on the cheek turns into a full-on cheek rub? It's the kind of shave a Dollar Shave Club.
Stop trying to rub my cheeks, Jay.
So awkward. It's the kind of shave a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor can get you. The Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor brings noticeably smooth shaves with 6 stainless steel blades for swift hair removal and a lubricating strip that keeps things smooth. The Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor is here to get that chin noticed, and it comes at a fair price. Dollar Shave Club razors are sold at dollarshaveclub.com or in stores.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Electric e-bikes today. The number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Electric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Electric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Electric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
It is time for Straight Talk on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Until now, the talk's been a little crooked. We didn't want to tell you, but now it's going to be straight. Brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Key, you are allergic to brand names getting kind of like undue attention or people thinking that their influence is out of proportion. I got to tell you, I'm one of those dudes with Gronk, though. It's not about the WWE, anything like that. It's like he's just, to me, even as an old dude, a tough cover in the red zone.
Oh, yeah.
Reliable. Sure, you know, like, that's
260, man.
And that's the dude I want. He got so many championships. Maybe if Tony Gonzalez is on those Patriots team, that's the way I would have felt about him. But I just think of Gronk like, as a Giants fan, I never wanted to see him in a big moment. I was glad when he was hurt or out of the game.
He's a hell of a football player. No question about it, man. Dude is ridiculous. Top four tight ends ever played a game.
How much is it at this point a hit for the Bucs to lose Gronk, considering he's still the red zone plan a lot of the time, and they're won a Super Bowl?
It's a hit, but it's not severe to the demise of the team. The team will still be able to function, move forward, find another red. They got some young, talented tight ends, but find another red zone target, potentially use Mike Evans in that role a little bit more because of the size situation. What Gronk has been able to do is be very smart at understanding Tom Brady. Tom Brady can read body language. They can play off each other. That's the beauty of having a Gronkowski in your lineup, outside of the size mismatch that he gives you in the red zone. Do I think that they still have an opportunity to maybe get an eighth Super Bowl for Tom Brady? Absolutely, because they got the defense. And if their defense can come alive and Todd Bowles can do anything in terms of coaching, which I believe he will be able to do, and they can run the ball with Leonard Fournette, and then they can still use Mike Evans and get a healthy Chris Godwin, I think they'll be fine. I really do.
It is, Jay, yeah. Interesting that they had – you flash back to a year ago, look at the receivers on the team. A.B., Godwin, Evans, Gronk. Oh, my God. Now, all of a sudden, no A.B., Godwin's hurt, and no Gronk. Like, isn't that – I don't know. When I to the layperson, to me, I look at it and go – Bucks are going to come out of the NFC. Wait a minute. I like the Rams more. I like San Francisco maybe. I like a whole bunch of teams.
Yeah, but I have the same belief in Tom Brady as I do in Aaron Rodgers. So Aaron Rodgers lost Davante Adams. It's not like people are saying, well, now we're going to discount or not count Aaron Rodgers to be there when it's all said and done. I still think Cameron Brate, who's 6'5", 250 pounds, is a hell of a TE. Like, and I think his reps will go more up. I think it depends upon the health of Chris Godwin. But I also don't see Gronk truly retiring. Like, I don't. Like, I talked to Gronk. I did a podium with him and Tony Gonzalez in L.A. for the Super Bowl.
Me too.
And
me too.
Gronk kept talking about how tired he was about the season. So, for me, you know, when I hear Gronk say that, I'm like, okay, retiring until that Tom Brady gets called. Until that call comes in. Right there at that juncture where they're about to make a run, and I see Gronk coming out of retirement, fresh, body feeling right, to make a run for Tom Brady to get another one.
It's a little bit different, though, and I understand what people are saying about him coming back and playing. It's hard as hell, though, Jay, to be effective in the middle of the season for somebody who hasn't been in it. You can do football acclimated things all day long. All right, and it could take you 4 months until you get hit in a game, no matter how much you've been hit before in your career. When you take that time off and you miss training camp and you miss the first 7 games of a season, and then all of a sudden you try and come back and insert into a lineup, it's not the same. So I don't even know if
– You think there's no chance he comes back?
Well, Drew Rosenhaus.
I don't know, man.
I mean, I'm doing this just in yesterday, 2 p.m. during ESPN. I'm doing this just in the middle of the show. It comes out on Instagram, right? Like Rob Gronkowski posts to Instagram that he's retired, and everyone's like, "Yeah, for now." I mean, Brady retired, came back for that. What if Brady calls him? Literally, as we're discussing this, Drew Rosenhaus, who's Gronkowski's agent, quote: "It would not surprise me." He tweets. Schefter tweets the following. Adam Schefter tweets. That Rosenhaus said, "It would not surprise me if Tom Brady calls him during the season to come back and Rob answers the call. This is just my opinion, but I wouldn't be surprised if Rob comes back during the season or next season." Why would Rosenhaus say that, Key, if like, you know?
I have no idea. Now we're talking about next season. You know, next, it's like, come on, man. You reaching into the future now. Not you, but him. Next season. I mean, like, Tom Brady might retire. We don't know what's going on, and I'm sure the Buccaneers aren't. They're moving on with their plans. Especially if they get what they need in the red zone. They get what they need. Yeah. Why would you even be thinking about it?
Wait, Key, I want to go back to a point that you made before about taking time off and then being hit that way. Gronk has that body type that looks like you don't take care of that can blow up pretty quickly, right?
He
always takes care of his body, but I'm just
– He actually
– Big boned?
He actually loses muscle mass and stuff like that when he stops playing. He never balloons up. You don't have to worry about him looking like he's been eating and drinking all night long. That's not his, for whatever reason, he's big bone, but he's a very thin, slender 260 pounds.
So it isn't out of the realm that if he were to continue to just train, right, for that time being, like it can fit into that mode of potentially coming back, right? Even though
absolutely.
It's challenging.
It depends on what it is that the organization is looking for. If you say that the organization just needs 5 games and all we want you to do is play 25 plays and here's the 25 play, of course.
Catch a touchdown.
Of course he could do that. That is what they're looking for. That's why I say, depending on what their red zone looks like, depending on how it's going on an offensive flow, because what you don't want to do is you don't want to bring a guy back in the middle of the year to disrupt the chemistry of what you already got going unless you need him to.
Yeah.
If you need a guy, dial him up.
If they can't find, like, that's a big if, find a reliable red zone thing.
Yeah, because it's not even about Gronkowski whipping somebody at the line of scrimmage. It's about him knowing what to do. He's not physically whipping people.
No,
anymore.
And also just being big with good hands
he knows
and
what
chemistry
to do.
With Tom Brady
he's
and
gonna,
timing.
He's going to be where he's supposed to be. He's going to do all the right things. And that is a comfort level for a quarterback.
But also, so Max, the fact that he is such a target, he attracts a lot of attention in the red zone that could be utilized as a decoy as well.
Blocks
so there's
well,
advantages
too, by the way.
To having him on the field.
Yeah, absolutely. Blocks well, too. By the way, exactly. O.J. Howard's gone. Man, they spent a high pick on him. He's gone now. He's in Buffalo. You bring up Aaron Rodgers. And where my mind goes immediately with this is, okay, how much of a difference is Gronkowski? You know, like, let's not just assume, oh, they're going to find a great red zone target, right? So the Rams got out of the NFC last year. They're right there. My mind goes to Aaron Rodgers. It goes to Rodgers because he, you know, his chance to strike when Brady just barely got by him in the NFC championship game in his first year in the conference. So all the Rodgers people like me couldn't say, yeah, Brady has Belichick. Oh, first year in the conference, he got by you, Rodgers, right? Then they draft Rodgers' replacement instead of getting him another piece to put him over the top. And since then, they're kind of chasing their tails. Like, now they got to replace Devontae Adams. How does this, losing Gronkowski for the Bucs, affect Rodgers' chances to get by them, Key, this year? Or do you think, does it have a major effect, a little effect, no effect?
I don't think it has any effect at all. Because I think the Bucs are still a good team. I don't think that the Bucs were not going to be one of the top teams favored in the NFC with or without Gronk. They were still – it's Tom damn Brady.
I just – no question. And I think the smart people and the football people are like, let's – I know Gronk is a name, but don't get too excited.
Look, the guy missed five games last year.
Right.
It wasn't like he played all 17. He missed five, and then he was hobbled in a handful of other games.
But, Key, if they were in a deep playoff game, going in, wouldn't you be like, yeah, you could pencil Gronk down for seven or six? Like, he's going to catch a touchdown. He's that
yeah,
type
you
of
dude. You moments, can, yeah, but that's all about the trust of Tom Brady. I can take one of those tight ends.
And develop that.
And if Brady trusts him and he's smart enough to understand, I'm going to slam the defensive end, make him think I'm blocking him, I'm going to leak out over the top. Brady's going to dump it to me. But what happens with dudes is they get caught up with the tight end, with the defensive end, because Gronk's done it 17,855 times, where all of a sudden he slams the defensive end, makes him think he's blocking, releases, and then pops over the middle. He's wide open, and everybody goes, what a great catch
Jay,
and throw.
Jay, why do I get the feeling like we could flash forward to we're all three of us together watching a deep playoff game, and the tight end does exactly what Key just says, and Key says, same thing. What I tell you, it's the same thing, right?
You gotta watch it though. But Gronk knows what to do, Jay.
Yeah, that's a difference.
That's a huge part of it.
There is something about when you get in these critical situations, the experience that you're always cool, calm, and collected because you know what's coming. And I don't. It's a year or 16 games enough time. So all of a sudden, to build, like, that's thousands and thousands
17,
and thousands
yeah.
of hours of reps. Like, that's just not replaceable like that.
Yeah,
man.
When Gronkowski runs a wheel route, he's running the wheel route. He's doing exactly what Brady wants him to do. If you put somebody else in there, he might run all the way to the sideline, an inch from going out of bounds, screws up everything. Well, Gronk knows exactly
what to do. And in the moment of truth, see, like, Key, what you're saying is.
Look at that right there on the highlight. Look at that. All he did was leak out. Here he is right here, up the seam. He knows where to go.
Max, let me give you another example.
He knows exactly where to go.
So Key and I have been working together for 2 years, right? So when you first came on the show.
Has it been two? That's a very long time.
I didn't know your cadence.
Right.
Like, think about this. Like, for the first couple months, I didn't know your cadence. I'm like, is he still going? Is he going to stop? Is there?
Well, I don't know it either, to be fair.
Look at him leak out.
But
he's
I'm just
leaking
saying
out.
The fact that I know when his thought is over or where his brain is going, there's something to be said about that because I can build off that easily. It's applicable to sports the same way.
Yeah.
I know what I'm going to get.
But so the question really becomes, Key, not that what Gronk does is impossible to do, but do they have the right personnel? Where in the 17-game regular season, if Gronk doesn't come back, by the time the playoffs roll around, that dude in the moment of truth will do all the little things Gronk does.
Well, that's why you got 17 weeks to get him to do it, right?
Is that enough time?
It could be. It could be because Brady's a coach, though. He knows what to tell him and, you know, the eyes, the stare down will scare a guy into doing the right thing. A guy like Brady, you just know what to do. And he'll let him know, man, you can't do that.
So let's do this real quick, Key and Max. So obviously, the favorite in the NFC is the Rams, right?
Mm-hmm. The Rams. Most people would say. Most,
yeah. All right, defending champs. All right, great. Who's the second best team in the NFC?
I personally.
Are you going to say New Orleans?
From a nepotism standpoint,
I'm
going to say the New Orleans Saints. Well, the New Orleans Saints is essentially done. They've got, on the offensive side of the ball, they've got two high-priced free agents at the receiver position. You know who the guys are?
Michael Thomas.
Michael Thomas and Jarvis Landry.
And Landry,
yeah. And the reason Thomas is a high-priced free agent.
He won there.
Because he wasn't there. They just added a piece that they hadn't had that they so desperately needed based on the Michael Thomas of two seasons ago.
Nepotism aside, let's be honest. The last time Michael Thomas was healthy for a full season – there are a lot of great receivers, but the best case you could make for the best receiver in the game was Michael Thomas. He was the guy who did every single thing you want a receiver to do.
You got that, the combination with Landry, the combination with Alvin Kamara. I mean, it puts a lot of pressure on Jameis Winston to be that guy.
They got better. They got better on the defensive side of the ball. They went and got Honey Badger. Now, the left tackle spot is a question mark because Armstrong left and went to Miami to get his money. They drafted the kid. I think he's out of Tulsa. Question marks about him, you know, Max. So let's see what the left side looks like.
Trying to remember his name. What round did they take him?
The first round.
Where would you have the Bucs? Third? Fourth?
See, when push comes to shove, I probably have him second. I'm not huge on the Cowboys. I don't think the Eagles are quite ready. I'm looking around San Francisco. Hey, maybe Dan Graziano has an idea about this. Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL Insider, with us now. What's up, Dan?
I mean, did Aaron Rodgers retire? Like, what? Who's the second best? Like, they got a case, right? Second best team in the NFC? Packers?
Absolutely.
I agree.
Absolutely, no? They do. But I'm going to always give blood the benefit of the doubt, and never mind the water.
Yeah, we're not talking regular season. We mean in the playoffs.
But, Dan, let me ask you. Run. So, when Aaron Rodgers loses Devontae Adams, a lot of people still have them slated as the second-best team in the NFC. Tom Brady losing Gronk, do they lose their position within the top ranks in the NFC?
Considering AB's not there, Godwin's hurt. Like, all of a sudden, the receiving targets aren't the same.
Yeah, and they had some, you know, they lost some guys on the offensive line, and they lost some guys on defense. I mean, there are a couple reasons to ding Tampa Bay roster-wise relative to where they've been the last couple of years. I would still expect them to be a strong team. And look, I agree with Key's point on the Saints if they can get everybody healthy, but at this point in the offseason, they haven't been. So we got to see a healthy Jameis Winston throwing to a healthy Michael Thomas. And once we see that, I think we can feel real good about it. But I think that has a chance to be a good race. Just feels like the Packers, to me, aren't going to be challenged too strongly in their division. They could be in the playoffs with a pretty good seat. Not that that has necessarily helped them too much the last couple of years.
Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. We going to see Gronk later in the season?
I mean, yeah, you know, his agent came out and basically said that, right, yesterday. I mean, you'd think he knows something. Reminds me, Max, when I was covering the Yankees, when Roger Clemens used to do that. Remember, he would come, he'd retire, and then, like, he'd announce in June he was coming back to the Yankees for the stretch. And the reason was he didn't feel like going through a whole season at his age, and it may be that Gronk feels that way. Look, I mean, he could stay totally retired. I think there's no reason to necessarily doubt him, but I do think this is going to be a story that we continue to track as the season goes along, especially if Tampa Bay's offense struggles a little bit.
How long do you think Brady realistically plays, man? Because we just never know with him, but how long do you think?
I mean, realistically, he would have retired like 5 years ago. Like none of this makes any sense when we talk about Tom Brady still playing at 45 years old. So, look, I mean, I think there was legitimacy behind the idea that he was looking to go somewhere else this year. And if that continues to be a presence in his mind and his thought process, it's possible we see him play for a different team in 2023. But I honestly believe that this is a year-to-year proposition at this point, and that he'll decide after the year what he wants to do. He and his family will decide after the year what he wants to do. I do think he could continue playing beyond 2022 if he wanted to. But that's the key question. How long realistically will he want to? And I think everything that's happened this offseason indicates that we're pretty close to the time when he makes that decision and says that's it.
Dan Graziano, ESPN NFL insider, joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Dan, I want you to take a listen to what Greg Olsen told Adam Schefter about Brady joining Fox after he retires. Listen to this.
No hard feelings, and I'm going to go out and try to do the best job I can do, and I hope Tom plays another 5 years. I mean, I don't think Tom's career is over until he gets 10 Super Bowls. I think anything less than that would be selling himself short. So if I was him, I'd go for 10, and I'll hold the seat warm until he gets there.
What do you think about that, Dan?
I mean, Greg's a very entertaining guy. I think he'll do a good job in that role, and I don't blame him for sort of wanting to fight Tom off and say, hey, you know, I'd like to have my real shot at it before I'm even really replaced before I got going. So, yeah, I think he's handling it very well. Obviously, it's a difficult situation, but the best thing, if you're Greg Olsen, you want a career in broadcasting, is to kick butt, and if Fox doesn't want you, then maybe somebody else will. So good for him for sort of entering the perpetual audition phase.
Yeah, no, it's pretty funny because originally I'm sitting there and I'm thinking about it. I'm like, Tom Brady's not winning 10 damn Super Bowls, man. You know how long it would take for Tom Brady to get the 10 Super Bowls? I mean, you think about his first couple, it took him to get another one after those 10 years in between up in New England. I'm like, I don't give a damn how much Max Kellerman says he's going to fall off a cliff. It's not going to help him get another three Super Bowls.
If he did nothing ever in his NFL career, just to get from where he is now to 10, that's a Hall of Fame career. He'd have to have another Hall of Fame career to get to three Super Bowls. That's a Hall. How many guys have ever done that? A handful? Graz, before we let you go, I want to get back real quick to Gronk. Where are you on this? Like, there are people like me who feel like, look, he's a red zone target. It's Gronk. He's clutch in a big game. I know he's good for a touchdown. That could be the difference in a kind of at the top of the NFC, tightly packed, right? Maybe Aaron Rodgers, as you said, is looking like, ooh, and now one less red zone target. Okay, here I go. It's a better shot. Is that being overblown or undersold, do you think? Like, is Gronk being overly branded by people like me as too important, or is he being undersold by people who are like, come on, man, he's a million years old. You can replace him. Where are you on that?
I think that at this point in Tom Brady's Bucs career, this is less damaging than it would have been a couple of years ago, right? I mean, Mike Evans is a pretty good red zone target, maybe as good as there is in the league, given his size and his ability in that area. So I think Brady can figure it out. When he got to Tampa, I think it was probably pretty important for him to have Gronk and that security blanket that he brought with him. But I think at this point, he's gotten to the point where he can trust other guys more than he might have 2 years ago.
Dan Graziano, ladies and gentlemen, thank you as always. Dan, Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, brought to you by Mako. Scratches, dents, and dings on your car. When life throws you uh-ohs, just say, better get Mako. Go to Mako.com today. Back to the biggest story from the NFL this morning and some insight into how long Deshaun Watson's suspension will be. Next, ESPN Radio, ESPN2.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.